Hello and welcome to our case study call for the month of March 2017. It's the first day of March and we have our call today. How nice. So I'm excited to be here to go through cases. I love going through the cases. And tonight we have three cases that have been submitted. One is from Jenny, and another one is from Lynette, and another one is from Brenda. So I saw Brenda on, and I saw Lynette. No, I didn't see Lynette yet. And Lynette might be there, but she might be hidden by one of the little, who knows, I just see the phone numbers. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start a recording. I'm going to start sharing my screen, and my screen is going to go through Jenny's thing. And she's Jenny. Jenny's still not hearing, so we're not going to start with Jenny then. We are going to have to, start with Lynette. If Jenny, let me see if I open Jenny's line, what happens?
Yeah, her hand is up.
Her hand is up, but if she can't hear, no, it doesn't even give me the opportunity to unmute her. So it must be the way she came in. You may not have a microphone and computer on you think, so I would exit Zoom and start back in again, and you may have to call in on the telephone. I don't know what else to say. That might be the case. So I can't open your line, Jenny. It doesn't give me the opportunity. So you're in control of mute or unmute on your end, and it may be some speaker issue. So like Lynn said, try restarting Zoom. So I'm going to go on to, is Lynette here? No, we're going to go to Brenda then. Lynette, if you're here, open up your line and say hi, or go ahead and raise your hand so I know which one is you.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, good. You're the one with the phone number. Okay, so let me go to yours. There we go. All right, so I'm going to share it. Share screen is the one that says Lynette. Here we go.
How do you access the link for the screen share?
You have to click the link that says Zoom in the email. You called in on the telephone.
Yeah. Okay. So is it click here for web access?
Yep.
All right. I found it. I saw it.
You got it?
I'm good.
Okay. And can you guys all see my screen? Can you see who, she's probably still starting it, but Lynn, can you see my screen? You seeing her?
Yep, I see her form there.
Okay, great. So let me just explain a little bit about how I'd like to do these case studies, make them maximum learning for you. Sometimes I just get on and I just like whip through them and people are like taking notes and scrambling and trying to keep up. What I'd rather do and what I think is going to be much more beneficial to everyone is I would like you guys to start to go through them and explain to me, and then what are you seeing, and then I can fill in the blanks, because I think that's going to be a much better learning opportunity. We did one of those, a very short one, on our coaching call just recently. I think it was yesterday. And it went really well. I felt like the learning opportunity was much greater than if I just went through it. Cause if I just go through it, it's lecture, lecture, lecture. So what we're going to do, Lynette, are you up for it?
Oh yeah.
Okay. And this is you, or is this a client, or do you care? Do you want care?
No, this is me.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Me.
Okay, cool. So it's easier for you to answer the question than I have to ask if I need more information. So that's really cool. So tell us a little bit about what you're dealing with and what you'd like help with.
Sure. So I have, you know, just a long history of digestive ailments ever since I was little. I was constipated to the point where I wasn't using the bathroom but like every 7 days. And suffered from a lot of like heartburn and belching, and not so much flatulence, but definitely belching. So lots of digestive issues. Gained a whole bunch of weight, and starting to feel it in my joints and my muscles. And I had read the pH Miracle Diet, so I started implementing those the nutrition based approach. And, you know, this was over, you know, multiple years that I did this. I switched my diet to a primarily plant-based diet, which I still follow today. I do on occasion still have fish, and I do on occasion have eggs, but I generally stay away from the dairy. I do have gluten every once in a while, about a year ago I had my genetics run, my 23andMe, and found that I have some SNPs, including the inability to break down gluten, the inability to break down histamines, and other people with my genetic SNPs have like Crohn's and stuff like that. I had a bout of like these rashes on my legs and did an IgG allergy test, found out that I'm allergic to yeast and red bell peppers and cabbage, so I've mostly eliminated anything with yeast out of my diet. On occasion I do eat it. And now I did the adrenal test through BioHealth, and coming to find out I have adrenal fatigue, and I am shocked because I have more energy than I know, like, than anybody I know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just really confused. I'm like, what is going on that I, you know, have these issues with my adrenals, but yet I have a lot of energy, and I've always been high energy. And so I have a feeling that also has to do with, you know, my genetics, and, you know, something's revved up.
Yeah.
I'm just revved up all the time.
Running on adrenaline all the time, and then for burnout. So, okay. So let me just ask you a couple of clarifying questions. One is, you said that you occasionally eat fish or gluten or eggs. What's the occasional? Like, is that once a week, once a month, once a year? Give me an idea.
Eggs, it's like maybe once every couple months. Generally, it's if I go out to breakfast and there's nothing on the menu that I can eat. Generally, I'm like, all right, fine, I'm just going to have some eggs. But I have found that when I eat eggs, I don't feel good. And I did some muscle testing the other day, and it said no to eggs, but it said yes to fish. So, fish, I eat, you know, again, when I'm eating out, you know, I'll eat, you know, fish tacos or something like that, but I generally don't eat it at home. So it's, you know, again, maybe once a month, maybe.
Okay.
Gluten, you know, generally if I'm eating out, again, like, it's always when I'm eating out that I have these things that I generally don't include in my diet. Cause at home I'm like just 100% plant-based, and I eat very simply. I don't eat a lot of grains. I primarily focus on beans and legumes and, like sweet potatoes and cauliflower and broccoli and stuff like that. I don't have a very varied diet. And then smoothies. I do smoothies in the morning. So, and sometimes two a day, sometimes three a day. It just depends on how lazy I am and just want a quick meal. So.
Now look at that. Laziness causes, this is a case where laziness causes you to eat even better than normal. I'm too lazy.
I know, right?
That's pretty cool. That's a good one. How often on the gluten? You fail to say how often. Is that still once a month?
Once a month,
or is it more?
Again, yeah. It, you know, it just depends if I'm traveling a lot. I'll tend to eat more gluten. Maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. So it's not that often.
Okay. So do you understand about, the concept of just a little bit still hurts?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm just curious. Right? So here's the deal. And this is what I want to ask you, and this is, you know, it's really being real with your clients. Say, okay, I still have this issue, I still have that issue, I have this issue. I know I don't feel good after eggs. Fish is fine, no big deal. Gluten, I have genes and SNPs that say I don't process it. And I have genes right. and SNPs that predispose me to Crohn's. But you still eat it. So what's going on there?
It's something that I think about, you know, like what is going on there? You know, why am I having a hard time, you know, staying away from that stuff? And, you know, it used to be easier. When I first switched my diet 5 years ago, I was like pretty hardcore. I wasn't eating any of that stuff. And I've just kind of slid in my habits. And I've cleaned them up a lot lately, except for when I'm eating out. And I think it's just because, like, I know I'm so clean at home. I feel like, you know what? I'm just gonna, okay, you know, just a little bit.
So what's saying to me is you don't believe it. You've read the evidence. You've looked at your SNPs, but you don't really believe that a little bit can hurt you. Correct?
You know, I'm an evidence-based person. And so it's like, for me, if I'm not seeing the effects, I feel like, I'm getting away with it, you know? And so.
But the eggs you said don't feel good after.
So with gluten, I don't have any adverse effects after gluten as far as my physical, like, how I feel. I feel okay. The eggs, I noticed that I just feel a little off when I eat eggs. So, so that's, I think, the correlation.
All right.
And it's when I eat whole eggs. Like if I eat the yolk, that's the part that bothers me. The egg whites don't bother me.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. So, okay. Again, and when we're working with people, this is a biggie because people want to be able to get away with even though they don't have an overt reaction. Right? You remember Tom O'Brien's story about how he tested his antibodies and he was like, yeah, he did what you do, right? He occasionally ate gluten when he went out. Very rarely, but occasionally. And when he did his Cyrex test, he found there were antibodies to his brain. And he went 100% gluten-free and 6 months later, they were gone. He didn't feel bad when he ate it, right? And the same thing happens over and over. So it's that hidden thing. And that's why it's so insidious and problematic. Right. And that can be putting strain on your adrenals, certainly, because it's an immune system thing. But given that you have the genetics for it, and you have some genetics for Crohn's, and you have this lifelong problem with your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gotten to the point where you had like 6 months straight of perfect bowel movements and great digestion?
No.
Okay.
No, even when I had first switched my diet, and was eating super clean, I still was having issues with my bowel movements. And so I have to always, I mean, I'll go a day without going and then I'll go the next day. And that's not, it's not good enough for me, you know, like that's not good.
Right.
You know, even the fact that I'm going to go once a day to me isn't that good. So I still have a very sluggish bowel.
Sluggish bowel. Okay.
Very sluggish.
Got it. Have you ever gone more than 6 months completely gluten-free, completely egg-free, completely free of any of the allergens that you discovered for yourself?
I would say the closest is when I first switched my diet because I was very, very consistent with what I was eating. But I would say that the thing that I still ate, even when I switched my diet, was tortilla chips. And so I know, and that was at restaurants, like the Mexican restaurants, and that was like once a month, you know, but that was like that was it. That was like the limit of what I was eating. So, so yeah.
All right. I'm just going to throw it out there that I would challenge you to give yourself that full 6 months of being clean of, especially with gluten, because it takes 6 months to a year to really fully get the antibodies out of your system, especially if you have the genetic tendencies. So
right.
Here's what I say to people who want to include gluten back in. You wait until your symptoms are all gone. And corn cross-reacts with gluten, by the way, and corn is commonly contaminated, you know, cross-contaminated with gluten. So, but the point is that if you give it your all, right? You say, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to allow my body to actually heal. And then you feel great. And then you do the test and the test doesn't show you have genetics. That's when I say to people, try to add the gluten back. But otherwise it's like, it's just not worth it. Unless you just don't care about these, if it's minor enough with the constipation, sluggish bowel and you don't care, but it sounds to me like you do care.
Yeah. Well, the reason, like the bigger issue for me right now is figuring out what's going on with the adrenal fatigue. And then also, looking at my labs from even just a year ago, it showed that I have low thyroid and, low T3 uptake and low protein absorption. And there's like a whole bunch of things on there that, are red flags for me. And then the lack of sex drive. And, I do have a Mirena IUD. I'm on my fifth one. So, I think there's a lot of stuff going on there with hormones. besides the digestion. And I know the digestion, obviously we fix that first and, you know,
other things. I understand. And I want to look at the other things, but what I want to also get across is all of those things can be gluten related. All of them.
Okay.
All of them. And it's not necessarily, but all of them can be, especially thyroid. Right? So it's not just gut that gluten affects. And so same thing when I'm working with somebody, it's like, okay, here's the deal. If you're not willing to get off the gluten, and we already see that you have a sensitivity to it based on your genetics or based on your labs, then I can't help you. I really can't, because I don't have a magic wand. I wish I did. I wish mine worked. I mean, I have plenty of them, but they don't work. I've tried. They don't work. So it's like you really have to, you have to be able to get, and this is a challenge, and especially it's a really important thing for us to learn for ourselves, is like, if we're not willing to commit, how are we going to be able to be in a position where we get somebody else to commit?
Right. No, I get it. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I've been thinking about it a lot.
Okay, good. All right. So I'm hoping that we can help inspire you to take it to the next level. So I'm looking at, I want to look at your, there's your adrenal, right? So you have, okay, so what are you seeing here? You haven't been through, you haven't been with us all that long, so you may not be able to help yourself here, but, the cortisol sum is the first thing we look at to define where the, whether it's a stage 1, 2, or 3. And yours is 24, which is totally within the normal range, but at the very low end, right? So when the total is within the normal range, it's a 2. Unless you're perfect, if this looked perfect and it was just like perfectly lined up and DHA was 6 or 8, then that would be, hey girl, you're normal. I don't see very many of those, but that's the case. But you're at the very low end of 2. Your DHA is bottomed out at 1.5. And so this is a stage 2 adrenal fatigue. It's not a stage 3, but it's close. You know, you're just a couple of points away from it being a stage 3. So you're at a 2 bordering on 3. Right. So when we look at this, when you wake up in the morning, it's perfectly fine. But you crash at noon. You start to make a hurrah at in the afternoon. You're not quite making it and then coming back down. So the first questions I want to ask people is just like situationally, what happens in the morning? What's your morning like? What does it feel like? What's happening? Is it a stressful time? Is it you feel good at it? Well, you said you feel good all the time.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, ever since I switched my diet 5 years ago, when I wake up in the morning, generally I am awake. I'm just alert and I'm like, all right, let's go. And so that's generally how I feel. There are some days, and I feel like it's diet based, where I am dragging in the morning, and, you know, not as alert, but definitely not like I was before I switched my diet, which was, it would take me like an hour and a half to wake up in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Like I felt like I've been hit by a truck. Yeah. And it was debilitating. And so now, now that, you know, I've switched my diet, I feel like I just have tons of energy in the morning, even, you know, in the morning, and in the afternoon I start to drag, you know, and then, so yeah.
And no problem sleeping?
You know, it's interesting, not generally, but lately I have been having trouble sleeping. I'm fine going to sleep, but then I've been waking up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and so it's just some nights I'm fine, some nights I'm not. I've been going to bed earlier. I am a chronic up late, like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I've been really working on curbing that because I get it now that this is affecting my adrenals and everything. It's affecting my inability to lose weight. You know, it's affecting everything, and so I've been really working on getting to bed earlier so that I can get myself back, you know, into a nice rhythm. But I think that may actually be what's causing me to not be able to sleep well, is because I'm so used to going to bed really late.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to bed earlier, and my body is like, what are you doing?
Same thing. You haven't adjusted yet. You haven't really reset. How much sleep were you getting when you were going to bed at 1 or 2? Were you sleeping late into the morning?
No, I would get up at, you know, my body was like, oh, okay, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's time to get up. And I don't, you know, a lot of times, most of the time, yeah, like 5 or 6 hours of sleep was my norm.
Okay.
And I felt great. You know, I'm like, all right, time to get up, you know, time to conquer the world.
Yeah. So. Yep. And now you're getting to bed earlier, like what, 11? 10?
Yeah. I'm somewhere between 11 and 12 is where I'm at right now. I'm definitely aiming more for the 11 side. Like there are times when I'm in bed, like at 11 o'clock, because that's my goal is to be in bed by 11. Mm-hmm. So, but it's been averaging 11 or 12. It just depends on, like, sometimes I get home late if I'm traveling.
When you wake up,
whatever,
is it in the 4 to 5 hour range after you've fallen asleep, or do you wake up sooner than that?
It's sometimes a 3 hour range.
Okay.
3 to 4 hours. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have been taking 5-HTP and melatonin, 10 milligrams. I can't remember if it's a 5 or a 10. But I've been taking both of those at night to try and help, you know.
Yeah. Well, your melatonin is it's pitiful.
I just started taking it.
Yeah. So you need it. It was a good call. Because look at it. Your melatonin is 1.6. The range is 12 to 35, right? I'd love to see you right snap in the middle of that. So 1.6. So it's a good call to be doing that. So let's just look at this. My guess is that this is improved. It's like you've changed your diet and this is improved and maybe you were in a stage 3 before. So it's really hard to just like in a snap and go, why am I like that? I'm doing all this good stuff, but you weren't up until, you know, 5 years ago. So it could be that you're just coming back out of it and now addressing this stuff directly would be helpful. And I'm open to, if anybody else is on the line who's been through some of these adrenals and wants to just step in and just kind of give opinions on this, raise your hand or just open up your line and we can go through that. You know, Lynette hasn't been in the program long enough for me to feel like she's heard me say this over and over again, like some of you have. So if you're open to that, just raise your hand and come on. Sequoia, Laura, Drina, who else is on? Brenda. Oh, Brenda. Okay. I unmuted you.
Hi there.
Hi. So you want to be on for this?
Well, I have a similar situation, although my adrenals were much more tanked, like almost in the stage 4, but I had a similar melatonin of 1, and mine actually related to low MSH, melatonin stimulating hormone, from a mold illness, from mold exposure.
Oh.
So I'm always curious if there's been some mold exposure.
That's interesting. Did you test the MSH?
I did. Yeah, I had it tested.
Okay. So is that done by, because I've never done that. Is it a specialty lab you go to or is it just a Quest kind of thing?
I went to a doctor who ran a bunch of things. He suspected Lyme and I actually did test positive for Lyme as well.
Mm.
So yeah, he was looking at all kinds of interesting things. And because I was having trouble sleeping, that was, you know, relating the MSH back to that. But yeah, melatonin. And I also learned that points to the gut issues too, right? If it's less than 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can point to the gut issues, right? yeah. Well, it's the precursor is serotonin, right? Serotonin's hugely related to the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And so 5-HTP is a good call in the melatonin itself. Some people don't, respond well to melatonin itself, they'll get nightmares. So just watch that out. Watch out for that. Does the mold issue ring a bell for you at all, Lynette?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't believe I've been exposed to any mold issues.
Okay. So anything else you want to say about this that we haven't said before I look on to, because we'll come back to this in a moment. So see how your pattern is off in addition to, your first one is perfect. Your first morning is perfect, and then you tank and then you stay below the line. So that's why you're really on the verge of a 3. Do you know when taken? Was this at right when you first got up, or was this probably was a half an hour after you got up? or something?
It was right. It was right when I got up.
It was right when you got up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to say about that, Brenda?
I'm just curious if your symptoms correlate with the low noon and afternoon cortisols. You say you have a lot of energy, though.
You know, she said she jumps out of bed in the morning, but she starts to tank later on. It just goes down. Okay. Yeah. So it is.
You know what's interesting? This particular week that I took this test, I was actually feeling very drained in the afternoon, like I needed naps and everything, which is really unusual for me. And I haven't, you know, like there are some days when I'm like, you know, I could really just take a 20-minute nap. But most days I don't feel that way. Now, when I was, cause I was working from home, and so, and traveling, and my job ended at the end of the year, so I've been unemployed. So like really, I feel like, you know, I've been on vacation.
Mm.
So it was really odd to feel like, you know, to get this result. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, I'm on vacation. Now it may be that I'm just kind of stressed under the surface, but I don't feel stressed. Because I'm not a stressed out kind of person. I don't have anxiety. I don't tend to fret over things. You know, like I know that everything's going to be okay and I'm just going to get a job. And I accepted a job offer this morning, actually. So I start my job in a week. And so, you know, like, thanks. So
here's the thing, though.
That's why I just didn't, I was just like, what?
So here's the thing, right? When you're in the mode of stress, you're keeping going. You're keeping going. Your cortisol spewing out. The adrenaline spewing out. You're going. And then once you slow down and rest more, right? Like being unemployed for a while, feeling like you're on vacation. It's like, boom, you don't have that push to secrete the adrenaline to keep you going, to secrete the cortisol to keep you going. And then you go back to the baseline, right? This would be, I'd really love on your follow up to do the Dutch test in like 3 or 4 months. Because that shows you your reserves. And I'm really leaning towards doing more Dutches than these straight salivas because it shows the reserves. It shows cortisone. It shows the metabolites versus the free. And you can actually see where you are. Like I looked at somebody the other day, she had a perfect curve. But her total cortisol, her total output was low and her cortisone was low. So she was like, just running on her reserves, and you get to a point where then you crash. So it's good that you did this, but my guess is that if that's the case where there's less stress and you're, you know, feeling like you're on vacation, is that, you know, you kept going because you had a schedule and you had to get things done and you had deadlines and you kept going and you didn't feel stressed, but you were using adrenaline to do it. I know for a fact for me, I could keep going and going and I'm loaded with energy and I go to bed and I get 8 hours of sleep and I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. I get 4 hours of sleep. I just like, oh, it's time to get up. I get up. So I know it's that. I know my body's going, wait, you know, you've been in sleep deficit for a long time. What do you mean you're just going to give me 8? Let's take 12. That could be part of that as well. That could be part of it as well. Let's take a look at your other hormones while we're here because it looks like, and are you, how old are you? Are you menopausal? No, you're not menopausal.
46.
So are you perimenopausal or are you just still getting regular periods?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to say because I'm on my 5th IUD, Marina. And so, you know, for the last, you know, however many years, or maybe it's number 4. It's like for the last, I think might have been number 3. Anyway, it's been since 2001, 2002 actually, that I've had IUDs. Mm-hmm. And so my periods just kind of, you know, they were still there a little bit. This last one I had put in, which was, 2 years ago, my period stopped altogether. And that was really unusual because I had been having periods up until that point. And so this one, it was like that fresh, little bit of hormone that's on there, just basically just nipped it in the bud. So now, I don't get hormones. Now, I think I remember telling you on one of the calls that I had, a friend of mine had told me about being, estrogen dominant. So yeah. I started taking the 7-keto DHEA and I was taking the, you know, some other supplements to try and balance my estrogen and my testosterone. And my breast started hurting really bad, and I actually got a period, and I was actually, my libido was coming back, but because my breasts were hurting so bad, I scared myself, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? So I stopped everything.
How long ago was that?
Maybe 6 months ago.
Okay.
And so I just stopped. And then what's interesting is I was reading, I'm going through the micronutrients section and came across iodine. And if you're iodine deficient, that can cause chronic constipation, and it could also cause fibrous breasts, which I have. And I was just like, whoa. So I'm wondering if there's something going on there, you know, that's also relating to the fact that, you know, my thyroid is low and my T3 uptake is low and all that other stuff. So
very good assumption. And here's why, because in addition, it affects the conversion from the estradiol and the estrone into estriol. Now you don't have enough information. You do have enough information for me to know that you probably have an altered, what they call it, estrogen quotient, which is E3 estriol divided by E1 plus E2 estrone plus estradiol, then the estriol should be more than, equal to or more than the sum of the other two. Well, this is really low. I mean, your estriol is super low, and you need to. We don't know what your estrone is because you haven't measured it, but your estradiol is super low. If you're in, what day of the month was this taken? Do you know, like, what part of your cycle? Or are you not getting any periods at all? At all?
I'm not getting periods, so I don't even know. I mean, I can look, because I've tracked periods in the past, so my tracker tells me where I should be, so I could probably look.
But look at this. It's not always. Look at this, 0.5, less than 0.5. No matter where, even in your postmenopausal, if you were postmenopausal, you're still like lower than below the low range.
Yeah.
See? So you're super, super low in estrogen. And I was just looking up the Mirena. Is the Mirena have estrogen? Is it include estrogen? It's hormonal, but what is it? I don't know enough about it.
You know,
I have to look it up to see. Given that you're doing that, it's levonorgestrel. Really. It's all hormone. It's all synthetic. Probably not the best choice. Probably not.
I'm gonna have it removed. I actually was I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's had like weight gain, and it killed her libido. And I'm like, whoa. So I'm gonna actually talk to my doctor. I'm getting insurance in a month, and I'm going to have them take it out, and I'm going to have them put a copper one in, because I'm fertile Myrtle, and you look at me, 20, and I'm pregnant. So I need something.
Given the levels of your hormones right now, I'm not sure that you will get a period when you stop, because you're really tanked. Your estrogen's tanked.
Okay.
Your estrogen's tanked. Your progesterone is still decent, 88. I'm assuming, yes. Yeah, so it's in the lower end of a range. It's good if you were postmenopausal, but it's in the low range. So you might be postmenopausal. A way that you can determine that is test your FSH and LH to see. Because if you've been on this thing for a while and it's suppressing, you could have gone through menopause and not even know it.
Wow.
And your testosterone, it's low too. Right. So all of these hormones are low. All of your sex hormones are low. And if we don't address this, you're going to tank, because you're still able to produce cortisol. But the reason you're able to produce cortisol the way you are right now is you're stealing it from estriol, estradiol, progesterone, and testosterone.
Okay.
The issue is finding out what's really going on there. And I don't know if you've ever done any stool testing to see if these constipation issues could be some sort of parasite, candida, bacterial overgrowth, something going on in your gut.
I have not.
Okay. That's a good thing to put on your list, because I think that it's been going on for a long time, right? And even with the good, better diet, you're still having a sluggish bowel. There's something going on there. Now, it could be liver, but it could be thyroid. It could be a gut bug. So I don't know that that's the top priority right now, but it's something to put on your wish list or your list of potential tests to start doing. Okay. Now, let's look at some of this other stuff. Do you have anything more you wanted to add to this? We'll talk about what we would do with this, but I want to see the complete picture before giving you advice based on just an adrenal test.
Right.
Okay. All right. So yours, you had your lab. You had your regular lab, right? There we go. No, that's metabolic hearing. So you didn't have you didn't put your lab.
Yeah, there's a lab. Okay. Yeah, there's two labs in there. One is LabCorp, and then one is that one you're looking at now.
And what's the dates on these?
The LabCorp was a year ago, 125 in 2016, and then the one that you were just looking at was done.
Yeah, it looks like August. Yeah, it's August.
August.
It's done in August. Yeah. So I'm just going to let everybody know that for future reference, I'm not going to accept lab reports like this on case study calls. I want you to get in practice of putting it into your master tracker or putting it into the blood chem software. Number one, you're going to learn a tremendous amount by doing that. And number two, it's going to save me a whole heck of a lot of time on these because I don't have my ideal ranges memorized for a lot of these things.
I put it in one.
You did? Wow.
Yeah. So you should see.
Where is it?
You should see it. It's in one of the, it says health tracker in one of the attachments.
Hmm. Okay.
Whoever did that is awesome.
That was Lynn. Thank you, Lynn. Okay, I'm going to look. I downloaded all of the ones you put in there. Did you add it recently or was it in that first batch that you uploaded?
Yeah, I did it the same time. I did all these.
All right, so it should be here. Let me see. Any PT cases? Where are we? Lynette. Okay, so I see additional information for your case. I see that's a doc. Hey, tracker. It might have opened. I told it to open all of them at the same time, so it might have opened it and put it in. No, it didn't. All right, let me do that. It just opened the PDFs when I told it to open.
Yeah.
So there we go. Awesome.
I just knew it made it easier for you, so I did it.
Thank you. Yeah, so everybody, you know, it's a great learning tool. We'll go through it. And it's just the way to go. Okay, where are we? That's not the one. Okay, there we go. I'll switch my share, and I'm going to go to new share. And I'm going to go to health tracker. Okay. So you all have access to this, and it's on the site. You can download it. I recommend you upload it to a Google Drive because that way it just makes it easier to keep track of. So can you guys see my screen now? Can you see?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, yep. So she took your numbers, she just took the most recent ones, put the 8-3 in here. If you put the other ones in, you'll be able to go back, and I recommend that you do after this, and you can compare, like, oh, what's happening with my glucose? It's going up, or it's going down, or whatever. So if we go through this, when you go through and do this, you've got all these explanations over here. So if you have anything that's not green, you look over here to see what are the possible causes of it. If you also use our blood chem software that everybody got access to, that has like things you can click on, and it's an amazing piece of software that can show you what's going on, and you're going to learn a tremendous amount about reading labs. But see this? So her, first of all, blood urea nitrogen is low. I know what that means, but if you don't, you're going to come over here and you're going to go, okay, this is low. And it's very low. So if it's orange, it means it's outside of even what the lab says is normal. And if it's yellow, it means it's outside the optimal range, but not outside the lab range. So you're very low in BUN. What could that mean? Low. What does it say? Malabsorption, liver dysfunction, low protein diet. Okay. So now we're just keeping that. And like when I'm going through these, what I like to do, let me just enable editing so I can show you. When I'm going through these, what really helps to just make things, what?
This is Lynn. I'm just going to interrupt for a second. I was talking to somebody who's in the newer group, this morning, and she still hadn't received, the blood chem software. So I talked to them and she completely missed the email with all the spreadsheets and everything. So they're going to be doing it. And so you should be getting that welcome email here really soon from Blood Chemistry Software.
Oh, good. All right. That's good to know. So let me find. It seems like it just closed it. Why did it close it? Did my thing crash? Let me just open it again. La, 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 la. Health tracker. All right. Now I'm going to try again to share my screen. Share screen. Lynette. There we go. Screen. Okay. So do you see my screen now again? Okay, so you see where it says blood, urea, nitrogen? So you're looking over here, and what I like to do is go over here, I click on the one that's abnormal, and I just use the Excel thing to mark it, and I put it in orange. So now, as I'm scanning through later, I can say, oh, what do we have a lot of markers for? What do we have, what looks good? So creatinine, that's also low, but not terribly low. Muscle wasting, malabsorption. Both of these are related to malabsorption. So even if you don't know much about this yet, even if you haven't been through the lab testing module yet, you still are going to get some clues here. What else? Sodium. Sodium is high. Potassium is high. What could those things mean? So I'm going to just go here. And I will go, sodium is high. What could that mean? Hyperadrenal or dehydration. Oops. And hypoadrenal and dehydration. Well, what did we see though on you? We're feeling like you're stimulating yourself and getting yourself going, but your adrenals are starting to go low. So it's not uncommon to see a combination of markers for hypo and hyperadrenal, because most people are in that kind of skewed state where their circadian rhythm is off. And then we have protein. Protein's low. What does that mean? Another indication for malabsorption. So I'm starting to think like, okay, there's a lot of things going on here that suggest malabsorption, right? There's something going on in your gut, which you've already told me, but it might be low stomach acid. It might be low enzymes, and it may be that you're just not eating enough protein. So I would be looking at all of those things, like do a diet diary for a day or two and run it through some software. There's plenty of them online. Fitday.com and plenty of others that you can run them through and just see how much protein do you have? How much protein are you taking in? But it's a lot of it is absorption, and constipation oftentimes comes from low stomach acid. Very common.
I've been taking HCL, one HCL and usually one digestive enzyme when I eat, especially like a heavier meal. If I eat a heavier meal, usually I'll take two digestive enzymes and one hydrochloric acid.
Have you ever done an HCL challenge?
I did when I first started taking the hydrochloric acid. I can tolerate two, but if I take three, then I start to get the stomach burn.
Okay. All right, so two would be more like more your ideal. So you may need actually to take two with the heavier meals and one with lighter meals.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're looking at some of the stuff. There is some, remember I said, liver, constipation could be related to liver, but you also said there's some thyroid stuff. I'm looking there. Alkaline phosphatase is a little bit high. That could be, but leaky gut. It could be liver. It could be gallbladder. It could be bone, but it could be leaky gut. So this is pointing very closely to a leaky gut syndrome, but these two are liver, these two liver enzymes. So there's some liver stress going on here, right? So I'll send this back to you so you have it. So you can see what we did here. Triglycerides are high. Okay. Triglycerides are often high in a situation where you're eating too much sugar. Have you ever started testing your blood sugar? We'll look at some others.
Yeah, so my high is usually 111. My low is 73.
Okay. And that's on...
And that's typical. That's
on your highest glycemic meals?
Yeah. I don't typically eat a lot of sugar. Sure. So,
Okay.
I just don't.
It may not be blood sugar. It may be related to the thyroid, right? It may be related to fat malabsorption, yeah, which is more likely. So as we go through and we see something, we go, well, that doesn't, that we can rule that out because, right? Your peak glucose is 110 and you're fine with, you're not eating a lot of sugary stuff. So, but your HDL triglyceride ratio is high. And that we often, right, we always want to rule out insulin resistance when that happens, right? Though HDL can be low, it could be low because of, I put that in the wrong place, sorry. HDL can be low because of problems with fatty acids. It can be low because you don't move enough. Right?
Yeah.
So here, insulin resistance. We're probably not insulin resistant because you've done that, right? Oxidative stress, heavy metal, fatty liver. So we're getting a lot of things pointing to thyroid, liver, and gut. And you don't have a full thyroid panel. So completely impossible to tell what's going on with your thyroid. So
should I do a Dutch? Would that give us the full thyroid panel?
No, Dutch doesn't do thyroid. Did your other lab have you, because you mentioned T3 and T3 uptake. Was that the other dates that you did the labs, the earlier ones?
Yeah. So I was seeing a functional medicine doctor, and so I think she did the full thyroid panel.
Okay. So those are good things to know, right? Did you have antibodies?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Those are important things to know.
The LabCorp, Lynn, did you see the lab? Oh, you didn't. You only uploaded the newest ones, huh?
That was all I had.
Yeah, I don't see any others either.
Yeah, those were the only ones that I had.
So this was back a year ago. My TSH was 3.4.
Oh, is this yours?
Thyroxine.
This one? Let me see. Yeah, this one doesn't have thyroid either. Yeah, so thyroid, I would do a full thyroid panel. Just go to Direct Labs and have them.
Okay.
We have special ones out there. If you just log in, it's directlabs.com/Dr. Rita Marie, and then go to order tests. You'll see my panels on there. So the complete thyroid panel. I would want to see what that's going on with you. Do you have, just going to look to see if you did vitamin D here. Yeah, no, I don't see D. Yeah, so I would get the complete thyroid with vitamin D. Let's see what's going on there. Right?
And just so you know, Direct Labs this month in March has their vitamin D on sale.
Okay. Great.
And I get that. Where do I get that in the INE? Dashboard?
Just go to directlabs.com/Dr. Rita Marie.
Oh, okay.
It's in there. It's in the lab test. It says all my resources for that. But just go there and click on order tests. And then when you go click on order tests, let's see if I can find it. I'm in a different spot. Yeah, it'll just let you know that you can order my full panel. And it's in the lab testing. I don't know if you're up to lab testing yet. You probably don't have that one open yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah. But there should be lab testing resources. Isn't that under the just a general thing? They don't have to have the module.
It's under the Vibrant Living members site.
Okay. Yeah, but just go to directlabs.com/Dr. Rita Marie and you'll see. So yeah, I would want to see it just based on constipation, sluggish bowels. Your TSH is okay. But the newer ranges are like it's better between 1.5 and 2.5 or 1.5 and 2 or 1 and 2. So, you know, it's hard to tell with just TSH what's going on. And you said in the past you had some T3 issues. So I would be looking at the whole panel, which would be TSH, total T4, free T3, free T4. I don't care about total T3, although a lot of them include it. And then the antibodies. Those are the ones I would get. And what I'm seeing here, white blood cells are low, a little bit slightly low, chronic. It could be a chronic infection somewhere, which goes back to the gut stuff. There may be a gut infection going on. Hemoglobin is 13. Let me see what your iron is. I think your iron was normal. So here's a gem. If the iron is normal, they didn't test it. It's such a bummer. Nobody tests iron anymore. Because we're functional, right? We want to look at functional things. So I don't want to just see if your iron is normal or high or low. I want to see if your iron, how your iron is relative to other things. So if your iron is high, but your hemoglobin is low, that says to me that there's something wrong with the mechanism that takes the iron and forms hemoglobin with it. One of the cofactors there is vitamin B6. So that gives me a functional idea of where you are nutritionally. If your iron is high, but your ferritin is low, that could be as a result of your melatonin level. If your ferritin is high, but your iron is low, it means it's not mobilizing the stored ferritin to form iron. There's something wrong with that mechanism. That could be related to dysfunctional liver, toxic liver. So all of these really cool things that we can see in the labs, a lot of the docs aren't measuring because they just look at absolute numbers. So we don't have time to go through all of this. We do it in that module. But what I'm suspecting here is, in spite of the fact that we're sleeping with stomach acid, it's low. So that might be that you're not taking enough. It might be that you need digestive enzymes. It might be that you're eating under stress. There's a number of things that you want to optimize in terms of digestion. And it might be that you got a bug. It may be that you have H. pylori, in which case it's probably not a good idea to be taking H. pylori. So,
well, I would know if I had H. pylori. I'd be in pain and have all kinds of issues, right?
No, you wouldn't. Hidden H. pylori, no. Very common. People find that they have it. Yep, very common. Very wow. Common. There's a biohealth test for H. pylori. You could just run that.
Interesting.
Okay. Yep, you wouldn't know it. It's very hidden. And if you do, you don't want to be taking stomach acid. All right, so let me just look quickly at some of the other things because we're running out of time and I want to make sure I get the others again. Oops, somebody's line is open. Somebody's making some noise in the background, if you don't mind. Let me stop share.
Is it me still, Brenda?
Oh, it might be, yeah.
Sorry, my dog is.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm going to share screen again, but I'm going to share back to that thing, and then we're going to go on to the others and we'll get through. But I think you got some good stuff to go on here. As far as the adrenals, what I would do to kind of really learn through what you do in those kind of the pattern you're seeing is you should have access. Are you in mastery or are you in foundations?
Foundation.
So you don't have access to that, the adrenal stuff. Okay. Whoops, somebody just started sharing their screen. Trina, stop sharing your screen, please, so I can have it back. How do I get my screen back, Lynn? Phew! I'm going to have to set it so that I can't lock meeting. Lower hands. I don't know how to do it. Still learning all the nuances of this. So let me share my screen again. Let's go back there and then we'll go on. That's your health tracker. Okay, let me go back here. Let me go to, did you have a Stratagene? Was that yours or was that somebody else's? Lynette. There's your Lynette.
I have a couple different genetic ones. So I ordered some of Anna Kabeka's the cream, the prep
pregnenolone and progesterone cream. Should I use that or no?
I think the is it a combo? I think that it could be helpful for sure. I think it could be helpful. Okay. Totally. Pregnenolone for sure. I usually use drops of pregnenolone, 10 to 12 drops. In your case, probably 12 drops a day, 12 drops three times a day to help support it. And I would look at licorice to pull you out of that low time, that noon. So I'd probably take some licorice root extract, maybe at 10 in the morning.
Okay.
And I've lost the screen that had your stuff in it. Now I don't know where, how to find it again. That's not what I want. All right. I'm going to get out of that. I'm in this one. It's metabolic healing. And I go and I say share screen and Zoom Pro account. No stay. Ah, here it is. Is this yours? This. Stay SF Bay Web Girl, or is that somebody else?
Yep, that's you. Yep, that's me.
All right, let's do a real quickie. I want to look at your gut stuff. So you have issues with FUT2, which has to do with bifidus. Do you take any probiotics? If not, I would get on some bifidus and or make some fermented veggies or kefir with bifidus. Phospholipid, that can affect a lot of things, a sunflower seed, sunflower lecithin, a good dietary source of phospholipids. Yeah. And here's, you've got a tendency towards IBS and Crohn's disease. So yeah, it's probably not a bad idea to get a stool test and just see what's going on there.
Okay.
Clear up whatever gut bugs might still be there. And it's interesting that you say you're just, you know, calm, you know, you're chill and all that, but you've got genetics that would predispose you to being a bit of a nervous wreck. I have these too, but I've learned how to deal with
it. It runs in my family. Both my sister and my mom are like that, but okay. I'm not.
Okay. So you've conditioned. Here's a good indication example of you using epigenetic modification to change it, you know, finding things. So what's your secret to not being like that? What do you do? Do you meditate? Do you tapping?
It's just never been who I am. It's great.
Well, the green ones are balancing you out. Estrogen metabolism, so the Dutch test down the road would be a good thing to do. DBH, I have to see what that one is. DAO is good, so that's a histamine. You've got an MTHFR, not bad. This is the less problematic one, the 1298C. You know, eating your greens is probably plenty for your folate. DAO, MAO, DBH, that's what I wanted to look at, the DBH. Breakdown of dopamine and norepinephrine. If you had problems with concentration or with focus or any of that?
A little bit, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so you have some.
And memory. My memory just sucks, like bad.
Phospholipids, remember we said earlier, phospholipids? Acetylcholine?
Yeah.
Super important for that memory function. So eating foods that contain good phospholipids, especially that may be why you don't gravitate towards eggs, but eggs contain it as well. But you have a problem with eggs, so don't eat the eggs. But instead, the sunflower lecithin is a really good source, or, you know, making sunflower seed yogurt, which hits your make sunflower seed yogurt with some bifidus in it. There you go. You'll hit your gut, your FUT2, and you'll help your phospholipids.
Well, what's interesting is that when I was eating a lot of fermented foods, like the Inner Eco and stuff like that, is when I gave myself that really bad rash, which is what took me to the functional medicine doctor to begin with. And the test, the IgG test, said I can't do yeast, and it said to stay away from anything fermented. That means...
So, bifidus. Everything. Just do bifidus. Just get bifidus and take bifidus. Bifidus isn't going to do it.
Yep.
Okay. You don't have any DAO as far as I could tell. So that's, your DAOs look good. This is a diamine oxidase and it has to do with breakdown of histamines. Because oftentimes people get rashes, you know, histamine reactions to certain foods. Let's see.
You know what's really interesting is the functional medicine doctor that I went to, she gave me, she ran my genetics through her lab,
her genetic, you know, group filter, and it's their genomics nutrition. And they, on their report, said that I'm not supposed to have any vitamin C. And that had to do with my, the glutathione and the CBS B699T, and the GSTP1.
I've never heard that being related.
And so I thought that was really interesting that they're like, no vitamin C. And so apparently I don't process it. And they did say that I had a breakdown in my ability to detoxify. Like I have issues with
right
the ability
here.
To detoxify.
That's what we're looking at right here. CYB. So you shouldn't be doing caffeine. You shouldn't be doing alcohol, staying away from charbroiled meats, which you're not doing as a plant-based person. So then really clean environment. And that could be, you know, how Brenda said something about melatonin related to mold. Well, maybe it's related to other environmental toxins as well. And I'd have to look to see.
So it's interesting because when I first switched my diet, I'd cut out the caffeine and the coffee and everything. And more recently had started drinking coffee again. And I was like, I'm just wondering, I'm like, is that what put me into adrenal fatigue? Is the caffeine in the coffee?
Could be. Yeah.
Because I'm taxing my adrenals every time I'm drinking caffeine.
Yep.
And the inability to detoxify.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You don't have the ability.
So I've cut out the coffee again. So.
Yeah. Right. NAT2 is related to some of the drug metabolism, so you're not on any specific. But you'd be curious to see if that synthetic form of estrogen is impaired by that. BHMT, CBS, so yeah, you have, but you're not homozygous there. So you're heterozygous. So to say that you have it's maybe a 30% impairment of whatever process it goes through. These are the biggies. And MTRR, you know, you've got some heterozygous, so, you know, making sure your B12 status is good. You look like you tested B12, but that's not a good indication. It's functional. So MCV needs to be in range.
I've been taking the hydroxo B12 from Seeking Health.
Yep.
But I did some muscle testing the other day, and it said that was not the one that my body wanted. My body wants straight.
Methyl.
Just straight methyl cobalamin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna switch back over. I need to finish this bottle. I just bought it. So, well, should I be taking the B12 every day or once a week or?
You know, it depends on like what's your homocysteine level. You have heterozygous. I generally take it once or twice a week. That's what I do. I just muscle test myself to see which one I need. Okay, so we're gonna move on to another one. Does this at least give you a good starting point? You can always watch this back and listen again and kind of go through this sheet. But the things I would be looking at would be what's going on in your gut and the thyroid.
So when thyroid. Now, as far as addressing the thyroid, just making the changes for my sleep and my eating and stuff like that. And should I like wait a month or 2 months before I test for the thyroid panel?
I'm not sure of what the connection is with your eating at this point. Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, as far as my gut, right? So making sure that I'm, you know, eating enough protein and getting rid of the gluten, taking the bifidus, and then, you know, not drinking the coffee, going to bed earlier. You know, mm-hmm. all those things. I mean, guessing all of those.
So if you want to do that before testing the thyroid, that's fine. And I would say give it 2 months.
2 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Jenny, let's open Jenny. Let me find you. Okay. Jenny, you're unmuted.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah. Hey. So Jenny, I think you brought this up once before, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. Yes. That was back in December. So that was my first time to be on the case study call. And we actually reviewed the same person last time.
Yeah. So you wanted me to look at
the
genetics to see if it.
Right. Yeah. He just got this 23andMe test done.
Okay. So as a refresher from my recollection, this is a guy who's been eating really well, low glycemic, gluten-free, dairy-free, really clean, no sugar, had this histamine intolerance, has been doing a low histamine diet. That seemed to help a lot. The FODMAP diet didn't seem to help all that much, but he stuck with it for 4 months.
Yeah.
And he's still having issues with
He's still low histamine diet. So he's actually still experiences the headaches. Sometimes, not every time, sometimes after the meal. So we kind of know there's something else other than histamine that's been going on.
Yeah. And this sometimes after the meal, have you been able to track it down to specific foods that might be involved?
Yeah, so it's kind of not a clear cut. So sometimes we suspect it could be related to the sulfur-rich food. For example, onions or garlic, you know, cruciferous vegetables. So it seems like he reacts more to those things that are pretty high in sulfur.
Okay.
And then we got this the 23andMe test. So, you know, I'm not the expert of this. So I was looking at this MTHFR.
Yeah.
And saw he has this, you know, homozygous thing.
Yeah. So that usually isn't related to sulfur, but that's a folate metabolism.
Okay.
That's related to folate metabolism.
So
that's important that he's, you know, he's making sure, like a lot of the clean diet changes and all that, a lot of green leafies and maybe supplementation with some methylfolate. We look to see if he has a COMT. Nope, no methylfolate.
So should he take methylfolate?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm looking here. So here's the thing. If somebody takes methylfolate because of the MTHFR, but he's also homozygous on COMT, which is not breaking down his catecholamines, not metabolizing estrogen as well as he could. That's not as critical in a male as a female unless he's got aromatase issues, in which case he's making a lot of estrogen and that could be a problem. But with that, I would probably start him with the hydroxy or adenosyl, not hydroxy, folinate. Folinic acid.
Folinic acid for the folate.
But also get some liposomal drops from Seeking Health of the methylfolate.
Okay.
And just start him on the folinic acid just to get these pathways opened up a little bit. And then one drop at a time, give him the COMT. Does he have a tendency to anxiety?
Yes, ever since the histamine issue started, yes, he definitely has more anxieties than before.
So I'd put him on the folinic acid for a month before even trying the other. And if adding the methylfolate causes his anxiety to increase, then back it off, because it can definitely do that. Let me look and see what else he's got here. So he does have the CBS.
Yeah.
Two CBSs. So that's related to sulfur metabolism. Nitric oxide. That's not necessarily related to the symptoms he's having. BCO. Okay. So he's got an issue with vitamin A. BCO.
Vitamin A.
He's not converting. This gene would predispose him to not convert his beta carotene to vitamin A. Now, in a lot of people with a heterozygous like that, if they have a lot of beta carotene containing foods, like lots of green leafy vegetables, carrots, you know, red bell peppers, all those things that have a lot of beta carotene, it may be able to bypass that and get them enough vitamin A. But I always suggest to at least like once a week take some vitamin A. a couple of drops of liquid micellized vitamin A just to make sure, just as an insurance policy. Because vitamin A is so critical for the mucosal linings.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want them to not have that. Phospholipids, that could be related because headaches can be neurologic in origin. The phospholipids are real important for the nerve sheaths. So he's got a homozygous here. So remember I mentioned it to Lynette who had a heterozygous here. Mm-hmm. That phosphatidylcholine is super important, but the phospholipids are important. Sunflower lecithin is a good way. Soy lecithin is good too. I just am always careful about soy lecithin because you want to make sure it's organic and not GMO and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the phospholipids could help his brain and it could help that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. Let me see what else we have here. I'm going to look to see. I mentioned that. Superoxide dismutase, that's in that sulfur metabolism pathway too. It's an antioxidant, super important. Just looking to see. It's okay on MAO, COM-T. Yeah, so his tendency towards anxiety could be related to the COMT.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, but you'd have to play with the different amino acids to see which it would be, but serotonin precursors could be very helpful there, and I'll look to see if he has any of the GABA ones to see if GABA would be more indicated. The book, The Edge Effect, is a really great one. It has questionnaires to help differentiate the different types of neurotransmitter imbalances that could lead to the, you know, he's on hyperdrive. Okay, let's see, BCL1s, HFE. Yeah, here's this is that PEMT.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does he have any memory issues? How's his memory? Does he find that his memory's going down at all? Hello? Oops, did I lose her? Jenny? Huh. Lynn, did we lose me? Can you hear me?
No, I hear you.
Okay. I kind of lost you. I just lost you.
Okay. I didn't know if it was me or not.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was asking, does he have any issues with memory?
The memory doesn't work that well, but it's kind of subtle. It's kind of subtle. He's being this way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it's a drastic decline, you know, over the past couple of years, but I feel like his memory never works that great.
Yeah, that could be phospholipids, right? Phospholipid metabolism being low, not getting enough acetylcholine into the brain, into the memory centers. And he needs acetylcholine, not just for the memory, but to balance out the high tendency he probably has towards being in having a lot of extra catecholamines because he's not breaking them down. So catecholamines are building up and he has this kind of hyped up kind of thing which affects the memory. So there's multiple things going on here between the COMT and the PEMT. That's what I would look at. And the vitamin D, make sure he's taking plenty and test your testing and keep him in ideal range. He's going to have trouble keeping in ideal range because he's got several of these.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's homozygous and two of them are heterozygous. So you got to really be careful with that.
Okay.
And APOE3-3, which probably not going to do great on a high meat ketogenic type diet. He'll go fine on it with more plant-based. But the saturated fats he may not get as well. This is not as bad as an APOE3-4-4, and this is actually a real common one.
Okay, so he has been eating chicken breast, lots of vegetables, but not the dark grain because he tends to have headaches after that.
Yeah, so that's good to see the sulfur. So the SULB.
Should he be on a low sulfur diet?
Yeah, well, given that you think that it's making a difference, I would like to see, do you have the original? Look up on the, if you run this through MTHFR support, that will give you like a gazillion of them. Cause this doesn't analyze I don't see the SULT on here. And if he's got a whole bunch of those and I don't see, where's the glutathione? Okay. Yeah, the glutathione ones are fine. All of them are fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly possible that he has trouble with the sulfur. So why not try a week or two of just getting him on a low sulfur and see, and then add things back and see. And maybe just certain ones. But if you have noticed a pattern that the headache comes when he's eating in that way, when he's eating higher sulfur foods and he stays away from them because he gets a headache, then that could be a clue.
Yeah, so let's say if it does turn out to be the sulfur issue, I just wonder, you know, because I know to avoid all of these good foods.
Yeah, you don't want to avoid that in life, right? So if you look at this pathway, let me find it. Cysteine, does it show? Okay. So if you look at this pathway, right, you're coming down from homocysteine. And you're coming down into these sulfur pathways, right? So if he doesn't have enough B6 or the amino acid serine, which you're going to get in phosphatidylserine if you start to do more of the phospholipids, then it's going to back up basically. And that B6 is used in a lot of places in here. So I would say B6 is important.
Well, he's been taking a B complex.
I take extra B6.
Okay. All right.
I take extra B6, especially with the catecholamines issues as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe 25 milligrams a day of P5P.
Okay.
That's what I would say. And then address the phospholipids. Seriously address that. You can get them choline. You can just get them choline, or you can get them on something like sunflower lecithin or soy lecithin, for the phospholipids in there.
Okay.
And I think Seeking Health might have a combination formula that has phosphatidylserine, phosphatidylcholine, phosphatidylethanolamine. So it's a nice combo formula as well. And that might, if you just really notice those subtle things, like notice his memory. Right? Yeah. Notice one of those little subtle things that may shift before you see a big shift in this headache thing. But the rashes are gone now with the low histamine diet?
Right. The rashes haven't happened for about a year. Yeah, pretty much as soon as he started on a low histamine diet.
Has he ever considered, I know you said he's thin, so he doesn't want to really lose
weight. He's very thin, yeah.
But, I'm just wondering if you did. I know fasting is probably not going to be appealing to him, but something that's a real, protein powder and MCT oil. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we actually tried MCT oil in his smoothie.
Yeah.
And he would say, oh, you know, I feel something, I have some reaction afterwards. So he kind of tried it a couple of times. But it's never clear because of whether it's caused by something else or MCT, we're never 100% sure.
So I would design an elimination diet for him. So the foods you absolutely know he doesn't have a problem with. If you know, when it's chicken or fish or green beans or the non-cruciferous vegetables, zucchini. I mean, I would design him it's going to be a really boring, bland kind of diet. For several days, you can add, it's okay with coconut, avocado, so make sure he keeps up his calories with the fat. And then do that for 4 days. And you can add some protein powder to get extra protein so he doesn't get it. If there's a protein powder he tolerates, I would go for something exotic, you know, it's not, you know, one of the common ones, but you find a protein powder he tolerates, you design this diet, you have like 5 foods. That you know he tolerates okay, maybe 10 at the most, right? And you just create these really, really simple meals without the really good greens and stuff. And then you add things back. You see how he does for those 4 days. Are the headaches happening like more than every once a week? Is it happening like 3-4 times a week?
Yeah, I would say it can be anywhere between 2 times or 4 times a week.
Okay, yeah. So you may want to go a whole week if you can get them to do the whole week, because that'll give you a real good basis. So he's having it between 2 and 4 times. He didn't have it at all this week. So we know that we're onto something. And then you add foods back in one at a time, really carefully, one every few days, just the ones you suspect the most. And then just try that. Because I think you want to identify it. And long term, yeah, there's some things you can do to help with the sulfur metabolism pathways. But right now, I think you need to figure out what's causing the headache and get it out of his diet.
Now, is there an association between histamine intolerance and the sulfur problem? Or any of these, you know, genetic SNPs that he's got? The histamine, because right now I feel like he's dealing with multiple issues.
And this one doesn't show the DAO. So,
I think there's a DAO. Yeah, right there, the last line. Is that DAO?
There we go.
Yeah.
So he has a homo. A hetero, not a homo.
Mm-hmm, right.
There are a bunch of others too. The other report gives you more. Is there? Nothing that's standing out at me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that's popping out. So if you kind of look at the chart, you can see where his breakdowns would be. Look here. So he's doing great all the way down and then crash.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, you'd want to be careful. I would give him some folinic acid. That can often help, but it really, he needs to get some folate in there, methylfolate. But you want to be really careful with it because of the COMT.
Right. So tomorrow he's going to visit his doctor.
Yeah.
And he said he's going to request the doctor, you know, run some labs. So I wonder what would be the markers?
We'd run a CBC, see what that is, see what his MCV is. I would run a homocysteine, vitamin D.
Okay.
Maybe
vitamin B, the B vitamins, would that be
B vitamins in a standard lab test, they just don't tell you anything.
Okay.
I mean, you can do folate, but they don't tell you whether it's folate, synthetic folate, it doesn't really give you much information.
Mm-hmm.
I would do functionally. So, functionally, you know, like somebody like this, if this kind of elimination doesn't go, I would be running something like an organic acid test.
Okay.
To see, or even something as elaborate, but it's more expensive as the NutriEval.
Okay.
NutriEval contains the organic acids, plus it tests all the vitamins and minerals in their right compartments. Like, you can't just test serum because serum is not good for very many things.
Okay, so now do they give you the actual number from this NutriEval test, or it's only kind of like a percentage thing compared to most other people that they've tested?
No. It gives you the number, the amount.
The number, okay. Yeah, because I remember SpectraCell has this micronutrient test, but they don't give you the actual number.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, it's definitely
different
than that. It's different. The other thing it has in there is essential fatty acids, and you know, it's more than that. It's all the fatty acid pathways. So you can see if there's some inflammatory pathways that are not being fed properly. It doesn't have the right fats to feed.
Okay.
And that inflammation, you know, any kind of pain has an inflammatory component to it.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And how's his digestion?
Well, the digestion, I think the bowel movement is definitely better than before. He used to have IBS for many years. So that's been improved.
So a lot of things have improved. It's just like he's reached a plateau here that.
right. Now this headache doesn't go away. So now it seems like the headache is the main thing.
You ruled out structural things, right? Like you've ruled out that he doesn't have, you know, subluxated neck or, you know, muscle tension in the neck or anything like that.
Oh my, I never thought about that, because he actually does have the neck issue, and he used to see the chiropractor for a long time to correct his neck.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't done it for a long time. So he used to do it, but
I'll get him back in because that can be needed.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because the fact that there's not a pattern, it could be the way he slept. It could be the way he sat at his desk. It could be any number of things that would trigger it. And,
okay. Yeah. But the headache does seem to happen after the meal. So that's kind of the...
Yeah, how long after the meal?
Oh, geez. I mean, it can happen. It can start pretty quickly, like 30 minutes after the meal. And sometimes it goes away quickly. Sometimes it lingers around for a few hours.
Mm-hmm. Is it always after the dinner meal or any meal?
Most of the times it happens in the afternoon.
After lunch.
And the dinner, yes, and after dinner. So it's never in the morning.
Okay.
It's always after the mid-afternoon, after he has the smoothie. So sometimes I don't know what's in the smoothie that can cause it. Or sometimes it happens after dinner.
Yeah. I think the elimination diet is going to be something. I would certainly check out his neck because that could be part of it and it just aggravates that.
Okay.
But I would think that the elimination diet and some of the things we just talked about with the muscle, vitamin D and all that.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
It's very helpful. Yeah, thank you.
Good, you're welcome. All right, so Brenda.
Hi there.
Hi, let me get yours. Let me just get these pushed out of the way so I don't mix them up with yours because I have so many files open. It's like, oh, okay, that's not yours.
Oh, that's for me.
That's yours. Okay.
I'm still here. Oh, I have one more question. Is it okay to ask?
Sure.
You know, on this report on your screen?
Yeah.
This is his lab results from last year. You know, the last number, this IgA, it seems pretty high.
Yeah, there's something his body's fighting.
Okay.
And it could be a gut it could be a gut infection. It's a mucous membrane thing. The IgA is high.
Okay.
Right? It could be food allergies. It could be an infection type thing, you know, a virus or a bug or bacteria growth or candida or something like that.
Well, he was having SIBO last year. Maybe that's why.
And this was back in April of last year.
Yeah.
So it could be that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they run that again, you can have them just run the IgA again. Just say, hey, this was abnormal. Can we see if it's fixed?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right. So that one. Okay. So this one is this one you want that? Oops. This happened. My screen went black. Okay. That's Lynette. Ow. My screen keeps going black. What the heck? Okay. I don't know what's going on. That one was Lynette. And this one, I have two Lynettes on that. Sorry, my screen keeps going blank. Okay, so that's Lynette. And then, is this one yours, Brenda? Nope, that's still Lynette. Oh. An error has occurred with the hardware acceleration feature. Ouch. My screen just went completely black. And there was a